Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We hope you set a spot out on your radio dial to follow our journey as I'm now 33 years into doing this crazy work and was honored the other night by the Roost 50 people. They've been here 25 years. It feels like I was around a long time before they were doing what they were doing. I even go back before there were Ravens around here being 15-point favorites against the New York Football Giants. And I must say, Luke Jones and I have had several conversations in regard to the Orioles in the offseason. Marty Conway has joined me in the offseason talking about money and how much money they would spend and what the philosophy would be. I don't know that, what happened over the weekend. And if you're on the WNST text service, you get it first. It's all brought to you by Cole Roofing. It's free to join. Just text 410-821-9678. Just text WNST or join to those numbers, and we get you on the text service. Luke, you sent out the text, and the Orioles made some moves over the weekend, and none of it sort of broke the bank. And then the Juan Soto thing to the Mets happened on Sunday night, and that breaks the bank and sort of gives us a reality check for what the industry's about, where the money is. Who knows what Mr. Rubenstein's plans are? He hasn't committed to saying anything. Elias has said, and you have said, he's a guy who works on the cheap for the most part. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to call it a garden variety 3-year deal with a Red Sox player, no less, but a strategy to move the fences back. I mean, they're all about strategizing, and now they have an owner who's allegedly not insane like the other guy was. I don't know, but an owner who may be able to better support the franchise.
Well, I mean, Mike Elias over the weekend agrees to terms with Tyler O'Neill. It's the first multi-year free agent contract that Mike Elias has come to terms with a player over, obviously pending a physical. And I think that's notable actually for Tyler O'Neill given his injury history. And you kind of look at where he's been, obviously years with the St. Louis Cardinals. The talent's never been in question, right? I mean, go back and look at his 2021 season. I think he was eighth in NL MVP voting that year. You're talking about someone who has ability, someone who's been, when he's been right, has been a gold glove caliber, not gold glove caliber. He's won a couple gold gloves in le playing left field, but injuries. You look at the fact that he's played 100 plus games just twice in his major league career going back to 2018. So we're going to see how this plays out. I think, first of all, the caveat of a 3-year deal, $49.5 million, the reported terms, it's there's an opt out after a year. So if Tyler O'Neill has a big year, good for the Orioles, but then he's probably going to opt out and you're going to try to re-sign him or you're going to go sign someone else then. So if he doesn't stay healthy, chances are then, there's somewhere between him being great and being completely stuck with him. There's different outcomes there, but
And by the way, this isn't a big free agent contract, right? This is
no, I mean, it's,
a guy
real
called the
money.
garden variety, but you have to spend some money. I mean, I
Sure.
guess they haven't, so we haven't felt it or seen it. And saying, well, 240 hitter getting 15 million a year, fair enough. 16 million a year, whatever it is, right?
Well, I mean, 240, that's a, but I try to broaden my horizons before just referring to someone as a
Well,
240
Santander
hitter. I
is going to
mean,
get more money than this, right? As an example.
and Santander has a lower career on base percentage. He's similar in age, has stayed healthier of late, but we were talking about injuries for Santander a few years ago. So look, yeah, Santander is going to get more money. We're going to see how it plays out. I
How much
think,
more? 70 million? 80 million?
I don't, I've been skeptical that anyone's going to give him a 5-year deal, but the way this market is playing out, I think he could get 100 plus million. Now that's going to be over 5 years, right? I mean, he's not going to get like 3 years, 105 million or something like that. Like it's not going to be double
Look, I'm
what
not here to
Tyler
spend
O'Neill's
Mr.
making.
Rubenstein's money, but I wouldn't give him that money.
Well, I mean, it's funny. And look, I don't want to lump all Orioles fans in together with this because there's always nuance with these discussions. But part of the discussion about the Orioles has been, you need another right-handed bat, right? need some guys that have a different profile. And look, Tyler O'Neill is great against left-handed pitching. He's been a sub 700 OPS guy against right-handed pitching the last 3 years. I mean, he's not going to be in a straight platoon because you're not paying him what they committed to him to make it him the weak side of a platoon, but he'll sit against some right-handers here and there. I mean, they'll do that. And look, the idea is Heston Kerstad, that's a path for him to play a little bit more as well, because he's 25 going on 26 and has shown enough when he's been healthy to say, hey, I'm intrigued by that guy. So, we're going to see how this
But
plays
not
out.
his
But
glove, by the way.
you know what? Yes and no. Yes, I agree in terms of the old left field at Camden Yards, which is funny to say it's now the old left field in Camden Yards.
It's like new Coke.
But that's, I think he can play a perfectly fine right field at Camden Yards if you just, he's up, he's established, he's playing not every day, but playing semi-regularly. I think he can be fine because he's not a bad athlete. He's not Mark Trumbo out there, where he's real slow-footed and all of that. So, but the overall prevailing point I'm trying to make here is I've heard so much about, oh, the Orioles need to tweak some things here and they need to augment and they need to make some changes here and there. And you're not blowing this thing up. And all. So the idea, that's fine. I buy into that. But then if you're so hell-bent on keeping Anthony Santander, how much are things really changing then? So, and look, he had a really good year. I'm not going to sit here and dismiss what he did, but it was a career year power-wise. He was at his worst in 2024 when the Orioles as a team were at their best, actually. They were at their best the first 2.5 months of the season. Go look at Santander's numbers through Memorial Day. They weren't very good. So, my point with that is, we're not talking about an MVP kind of player, right? We're not talking about a 5 or 6 win player here, like Gunnar Henderson, for example, who was more than that this past year.
He's a piece.
He's a piece, right? And he's a good piece. And I like Santander, and they're going to have to replace that. And Tyler O'Neill's going to be part of that. I think Heston Kerstad playing more is going to be part of that. With O'Neill, he's got to stay healthy. There's no question about that. But I think when you look at what they're paying for, what he gives them, we know they had deficiencies against left-handed pitching. This guy crushes left-handed pitching. We're going to see. He's got to stay on the field.
Well, that
That's
was
why he's
my
available for
first
what he
thought
is.
was like they look at their deficiencies and all of the grief they took all the last 90 days of the season about not having right-handed power, not having right-handed bats, in that way to defend themselves against left-handed pitching, that the first thing that they did was address that in the same way that last year the first thing they did, it showed up on my timeline, Craig Kimbrell was something that, hey man, our relief pitcher blew his arm out, we got. And that wasn't the reason they lost to the Rangers, 15 months ago, but it was still like, that's our biggest problem is the back end of the bullpen. This is before Means's arm blew up, Wells, Bradish,
Bradish.
all, just down the line, where they thought like this time last year, their first order of business was addressing a right-handed bat.
And look, on paper, I'm fine with it. I'm not doing cartwheels over it, but I'm fine with it, right? He had 31 home runs and 473 plate appearances last year. I mean, again, not great against right-handed pitching, but against lefties, I mean, this guy crushes left-handed pitching. So, I mean, I expect he's going to hit cleanup against left-handed starters. I mean, that's what I'm expecting to see, with Tyler O'Neill. But again, the questions, the health, you go look. 2018 was his rookie year, so put that aside. But 2019, 60 games. 2020, COVID year, so they only played 60 games, 50 games. So I'll give him that. He stayed mostly healthy that year. But 2021, that was his career year, 138 games, 537 plate appearances. Those were his career highs. He was f fantastic that year against right-handers and left-handed pitching. But since then, 96 games in 22. 72 games in 23. I mean, that's why the Cardinals kind of said, "Look, we're moving on," and they traded him to Boston, and he was on the IL 3 different times for the Red Sox. Now, they weren't lengthy stays. He wasn't on the IL for a month or for 6 weeks, but he had a concussion. He had a knee issue, and then he had a weird infection he got in his leg that he missed some time as well. So
Those are sort of freaky, weird,
yeah,
you know.
so well, and again, but this is also why he was available for 3 years, $49 million, as opposed to, I mean, if he was really durable, I mean, like I said, in 2021, he's one of the best players in the National League. I mean, you'd be talking about someone at age 29 who would command a much greater commitment. That's part of the reason why I'm sure he wanted an opt-out, and why the Orioles probably said, you know what, we're okay with that. Because if he opts out, that means he had a heck of a year for us in
We got great
2025.
value, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So that's where you look at this thing. So, you know, you look at him, certainly adds right-handed thump. You know, we'll get to Gary Sanchez in a moment as their new backup catcher. Right-handed thump once again. They're moving the fences in. It's not pre-2022 Camden Yards either. You know, it's not a bandbox, but more right-handed hitting friendly than it had been the last few years. And they've proceeded accordingly. And they've added a couple pieces, you know, more so O'Neill as far as an everyday piece, but they've added some right-handed thump. And for me, the next question is, okay, starting pitching. You know, is Corbin Burnes at all in the conversation, or are we talking about Max Fried? Are we talking about Nathan Eovaldi, who would kind of, Eovaldi would kind of be in that Eflin tier, right? You know, the guys that can still help you win. I mean, the Texas Rangers were very happy to have Nathan Eovaldi 2 years ago. I mean, he was their ace at that point in time, helping them win a World Series. So, you know, there's different tiers here, but they certainly need to get starting pitching. We all know that. However, it's going to look, it could be a trade. Keep in mind, the winter meetings are this week. You know, I mean, we've talked about Crochet a lot, right? There were some reports on Sunday night, you know, from some national reporters that, you know, that could be heating up again. Is it the Orioles? Is it another team? Who knows?
They call them
But
blockbusters. We haven't had many of those around here, Luke.
yeah, and certainly, you know, I mean, nothing's going to trump Juan Soto getting what, $765 million. I mean, it's just, I can't even comprehend that. I mean, a 15-year deal. But you know, the Mets do it. So I think now, though, this is where business picks up, because it's not just the Mets do that and okay, Soto's set, he's going to the Mets. What do the Yankees do? What do the Dodgers do? You know, what do all these teams do? You know, not just those teams, but even the next tier from a payroll standpoint. Okay, the Soto domino is the biggest domino to fall. What's that mean for Corbin Burnes and Max Fried? And go down the list of, you know, Teoscar Hernandez. Go down the list of different players that we've talked about, whether for the Orioles or for someone else, you know, a potential fit. So, you know, the
I
Soto
like how the
contract.
Mets are coming in to try to steal the Thunder, though. By the way, the Saturday Night
Yeah.
Live skit was fantastic with the church lady. So I don't know if you saw that.
I did not get a chance to see that,
Oh,
but
dude, Juan Soto was you know, one of the church lady's
that's
guests.
funny. But
In addition to Matt Gaetz and some others, but it was hilarious. And the Juan Soto punchline was about signing with the Mets, and then Juan Soto signed with the Mets. So it's definitely worth watching, because I like was drinking coffee Sunday morning and I blurted out, and then 10 hours later he actually signed with the Mets, which is fun.
yeah. It's funny though how you said the Mets tried to steal Thunder. It's like, have you seen their payroll the last few years? I mean, that's what was funny about the postseason. Remember, the perception was the Mets were these underdogs. It's like, wait a second, go look at their payroll. They're not underdogs. You know, this isn't the Kansas City Royals from a decade ago. So, but yeah, Juan Soto to the Mets. I mean, the Yankees. I think John Heyman said their bid was $760 million for 16 years. I mean, it's wild, wild stuff, right? I mean, it's any of these deals, you know, and it's not even a commentary on, you know, what smart, not smart, whatever. Just the idea of committing to any player in any sport for 14, 15, 16 years. I mean, it's just, you think about that in terms of not just put aside a baseball player's career and how long that is, or any sport, how long their career might be. I think about those that in life terms, like a 17, you know, a 15-year deal. I'm going to be 56 years old when that deal's expired, right? I mean,
I'm 56 now.
right? No,
Watch.
but I'm just, no. I'm just saying, like, you when you think about it in those terms, you just think about how it's hard to contextualize it. It's so long.
Well,
It's
you've
such
been
a
here
big
15 years,
contract.
and it feels like I've known you my whole life. So,
Yeah,
right?
I mean,
Yeah,
I thought
16
that,
years, actually.
right?
But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that when, you know, when Bryce Harper signed with the Phillies, I'm just like, man, like this, it's a really long time. I mean, you think about where you are in that moment in your life, just as a baseball fan or as a media guy or whatever, and Yeah, that player is going to be under contract for that team if they're not traded or if they don't opt out, which obviously there's opt-outs involved as well. But it's wild, man. I mean, we've come a long way. I could still, I think I remember as a kid, I'm trying to think the first big contract that felt like really, really big money to me as a kid. I want to say it might have been the Ryne Sandberg deal, which was, what was that, maybe 5 years, 25 million or something like that at the time. And I'm just thinking, wow, we've come a long way from that point. I mean, obviously that was over 30 years ago I'm talking about, but it's wild to think that, you know, the Yankees bid $760 million for a player and they didn't get him. They weren't the high bidder with that. So, wow, it's something. But hey,
It
Juan,
speaks a lot to Juan Soto wanting to be a Met too, sort of like
I
Lindor and
kind
these
of thought
guys.
that
And it's
too.
sort of like, all right, you know, and if I'm the Yankees, I'm like, you know, F you. If you don't want to be a Yankee, you
Well, and
know,
that's.
Mark Teixeira wanted to be a Yankee. Mike Mussina wanted to be a Yankee for better or worse, rings or no
Yeah.
rings, whatever. But there was a point like where, especially being a Yankee, if you get a chance to be a
Right.
Yankee or a Laker or a, you know, a Cowboy or, you know, for whatever it would be worth to say you're going to leave the Cowboys and sign with the Texans or you're going to leave
Yeah.
the New York Rangers to sign with the Islanders. No, who would do, you know, it's a mindset of like, yeah, you
You
know, like,
literally just want every last nickel you can get. And look, hey, it's America, right? At the end of the day, that's
no,
who's
dude, but
right.
anybody who knows
But
anything that's not a dumbass knows happiness is where it's at. You know what I'm saying? Like, I
yeah.
could have made more money in various places doing things.
Sure.
I would not be happy at WBAL waking up every day or at Odyssey Radio. I mean, I saw the Fan had a job listing and I'm qualified and I'm thinking, wouldn't want to wake up doing that every day, even though it's the same job.
I mean, you.
There's a whole part of. Do you want to wake up and be a Met every day of the rest of your life, or do you want to wake up and be a Yankee? You know, like, and when
Or
you
a
have that
Dodger or what?
opportunity,
Right. Yeah. Sure.
yeah.
Sure. I mean, it's yeah. I agree with you, and I'm glad you brought that up because I.
Or an Oriole if you're Gunnar
Sure.
Henderson, right?
Well, and you get, but you all you get to the point where look, I am not at all suggesting that anyone should sit there and deliberately take less money. Right. We're not talking about hometown discounts that are outrageously cheap or anything like that, right? Not talking about Gunnar Henderson, who, you know, we could be talking about being a $400 million player, $500 million player a few years from now, whether it's with the Orioles or someone else,
He might
you
be a
know.
$770
I mean,
million
who knows, right? I
player.
mean, he could be by then. Who knows? I
Well, that
mean,
was my point about Soto,
but
not getting him on the cheap at this point, because I had a conversation with Tim Wendel last week because he was
and
here signing books. And I'm like, if you're waiting on
it's.
giving Henderson $700 million, somebody else might give him $800. You know
Yeah,
what I mean?
it's, but it's also so it's so tricky, and I don't say this to defend the Orioles. This is just a commentary on baseball in general. We're at such an inflection point with what's going to happen with RSNs, local TV rights, how all of that's going to play out to try to project out what the next contract is going to be that exceeds Juan Soto, right? I mean, we thought Ohtani was going to be. You know, there were people who didn't think Soto would eclipse Ohtani. I mean, you know, I'm not saying that anyone thought he was going to get substantially less, but I think there was some question whether he was going to eclipse what Ohtani got. And he did because he got that. And the way it sounds, none of it's deferred. Whereas Ohtani, a lot of that money's deferred. So, you know, in terms of valuation and what that means for the future. But yeah, you just look at these deals and there is still something to be said for how much is truly enough that you can still thump, puff out your chest. Your agent can still puff out their chest, and you feel really good about the fact that you're going to have a really good chance to win there for a long time. And I'm sorry, say what you want about. I mean, look, the Mets have tried. They've spent money. They've made it to the playoffs. You know, it's not as though it's been completely wasted, but at the same time. If you're looking at the Mets compared to the Dodgers, for example, I mean, I know who I like, whose chances I like better to continue to win and sustain and do that because the Dodgers are not just spending money really well, but they're an extremely well-run organization when you look at how great their farm system is, too. So,
And you get
Yeah.
to play in the weather, and you get to play late nights, and the LA
Yeah.
media is
And
way
look, I mean,
different than the New York media, and being in Queens is different than being in the Bronx, because I've been in them both. I've been in the stadiums, I've been in the environment, I've been in the parking lots, I've been on the subways. Like the lifestyle, even if you're just limoing in,
yeah.
which they are, driving their Lamborghinis or whatever it is, there is a point where lifestyle that you want, not that I want,
Yeah.
that Manny Machado would want, would be different for a kid from Miami with a Hispanic background to say, I like San Diego better than I liked LA, and certainly better than that asshole Baltimore, where they didn't spend any money, we couldn't win, the owner was a creep, we had to play the Yankees and Red Sox. I'm out of there, and I got my bag, and I have a chance to win and be a part of something where if I win, I get my statue next to Tony Gwynn, right? So, like, mindset-wise for all of these guys, for whatever Ohtani's mind and his gambling buddy, and I want to be a Dodger and not an Angel. I mean, it's not for me to say that
Sure.
Ichiro was extremely happy being a Seattle Mariner, because that probably was way better for him than being in Hollywood and being in LA and being a little bit off the grid. And for people that have that success, I don't mean Cal Ripken and George Brett. I don't mean, and by the way, they're doing a thing on Michael Jack Schmidt. I can't wait to watch that one. But the modern era of being a rock star and getting, making $50 million a year and needing security and all of that stuff, I don't know whether it would be, I don't, I'm out of it, and I travel into it, and I watch it and all, and I'm saying to myself, whatever decision you made to take the money to go be a Met instead of being a Yankee, you have some conviction about that, because Messina never wanted to pitch in New York. He's a small town guy and all that. Joe Torre called him and brought him up there, and they showed him
Yeah.
where he could live 15 minutes from the ballpark that had nothing to do with New York and had trees and had a backyard that he had never really seen it or felt it. Juan Soto's felt all of this. So if Juan Soto's happy taking money from the Mets, God bless him. But it is a little curious to me that it is a little
Well,
curious to me as to whether he's going to be like Messina. And my buddy Dave Muir always says he has a nude ring finger.
yeah, and
Juan
I
Soto doesn't have a nude ring finger already. He already won, right?
But I would also say this, and as we're talking about this, because again, I don't know Juan Soto from Adam, right? In terms of,
Oh, he seems like a typical baseball prima donna jerk, but what do I know?
right. But you kind of look at it through the lens of, if you're the Mets, it's funny saying this. Here's my pitch, because the pitch is obviously $700+ million over 15 years, but understanding the Yankees were offering similar, right? At least similar. You look at it and you say, you know what, Juan? They already have Aaron Judge. Babe Ruth played there. Lou Gehrig played there. Joe DiMaggio, Mickey Mantle, go down the list. Not just Hall of Famers. We're talking about Hall of Famers amongst the Hall of Famers. Who's the greatest Met in the history of that franchise? Tom Seaver, but Tom Seaver also played elsewhere, right? I mean, he's not the greatest pitcher of all time. I wouldn't put him number one. He's certainly up there. But does Tom Seaver have the same mystique as Babe Ruth, for example? No. So if
Without
you're the
even the
Mets,
Mets, I think of Strawberry and Rusty Staub
right,
and
and
Doc Gooden.
David Wright, and like guys that were really good, but not for 15 years, like he's getting for the Mets, right?
You have
And
a
not that
chance to transform
he has
our.
a chance to be the Babe Ruth of the New York Mets. I mean, he really does. Does that, and look, that might not mean a lick to him, because ultimately he took the highest offer, and it might just truly be that simple. For Scott Boras, it often is, right? So, but that's the only thing I would say in terms of trying to weigh Yankees versus Mets. It's like, okay, well, they already have Judge. He's already the captain. They're already the greatest franchise in the history of professional baseball. We all know all that. I'm not sitting
But
here
it would
trying to,
speak volumes to me
but
if he took $800 million from the Marlins to go down there and be like, you want to transform something that's nothing. The
yeah.
Mets thing just, I don't know. It's weird.
Although the Mets haven't won a World Series since 1986, right? I mean they've been to some, to a couple World Series, but I guess for me, again, in addition to obviously the money, which is the overwhelming 99.5% driving force here, but if you're looking for that extra half percent, that would be your pitch if you're the Mets, to say, hey, the Yankees have this mystique and this history that, frankly, we don't have. You can be that guy. You could go down. You already have a chance to go down as one of the great players of the last 50 years. You're already on that kind of a path, right? I mean, when you look at what he did starting at age 19 for the Nationals, and what he's been from that point on, and how young he still is, that, he can be the greatest Met of all time. He can bring the Mets their first World Series in 40 years, right? I mean, so, but at the end of the day, yeah, I mean, it's, you kind of look at it and say, if what the Yankees offer that John Heyman put out there Sunday night is on the up and up and wasn't like, okay, what was the real offer? Those, one of those kind of scenarios, then yeah, you do kind of look at it and say, did you really want to be a Met that much more than a Yankee or a Dodger? Or was it they threw a few more nickels your way and you said, oh, I'll take that, which, hey, again, that's your prerogative,
I
right?
do
So.
wonder if as I wear my Curio Wellness orange, Baltimore bird swag, that if this morning Rubenstein showed up as money bags and delivered this, it's well within the purview of their finances to say we're going to put $50 million a year on the books based on where they are. And I don't know that it moves needles. I don't know that it sells tickets from people who are on the fence. I know it doesn't sell. It doesn't make poor people rich people. It doesn't make a
And
$20 ticket holder buy $50 tickets.
yeah.
Again, so I don't know how they have Johnny Bravo, the fan base here, and Katie Griggs to go through the fist fight you and I had here, and people can go listen to it 3 weeks ago
Well,
about Stockholm Syndrome and saying they can't afford it. We can't. We're not a big market. We can't have nice things. We can't have. Well, I mean, this is where the ball field's going to be for Gunnar Henderson or Adley Rutschman or Jordan Westberg or anybody else that winds up going to the Hall of wherever, that there's going to be money that needs to be spent. And they spent $50 million over the weekend in a blink. And it feels like a lot when you consider like what players make in other sports and what entertainers make or whatever. But on a baseball level, it was a garden variety $50 million just thrown away. You're wowed by $760 million. I would be wowed by anything that would move the Oriole franchise in a way. And I am in agreement with you. By the way, even though I took the other side of the argument 2 weeks ago, and I feel bad that we got in the fight we got into, I don't
nothing to
feel like
feel
they
bad
needed to
about.
sign
That's
him
fine.
today. I don't feel like he needed to be an Oriole today. I still feel like the franchise
Well,
needs to establish what it's going to be, because if it's going to be, we can't afford nice things, then
sure.
let's not talk about Gunnar Henderson being here.
Well, and let
And that's the Garden of Eden for the whole sport. And by the
sure.
way, Tim Wendel knows John Hellyer and said to me he thinks he can get John Hellyer on the. I might wet myself. It might be like the John Wooden or the Paul Rogers interview where I'm like, I don't even know what I would say to John Hellyer. But when you talk about the Garden of Eden for all of this and how unbalanced all of this is that as an Oriole fan, I wake up today and say, well, we can't afford good. We can't have nice things, or that's too much money for me. And if that's the case for David Rubenstein, he probably shouldn't have gotten into this game, because at some point, if they're going to play the we're the Pirates, we're the Royals, we're going to be a bottom 10, and we're just going to play along, and we're going to have those young guys, and like, okay, I mean,
Yeah.
I and that sells, because I
Well,
see it on Oriole chat and Camden chat, and to the fans that want to play that game of we're going to have $100 million payroll and play against $300 million forever. That's not good enough, and the franchise needs to be nice to people like me and everybody else to get my money and everybody else's money, because this is the money that's going to fund this, and they don't have the money tree of Masson that they ever thought it was going to be, or that Peter and the boys pocketed the money before they got out the side door. But it is a telling thing, and it's telling to me that I am Stockholm Syndrome right with you and saying, well, it's probably better they didn't spend the money. Because that's the easy way to say, because it probably is better they didn't spend the money, really. I mean,
and what my argument has always been, and this goes back to, look, there's nothing to feel bad about. I mean, it was healthy debate, right? I mean, me, I'm a pro wrestling guy. Sometimes we cut a promo and it gets a little heated, right? But there's always been a wide net between the Juan Soto contract and being the Rays, right? I mean, there's a huge range of outcomes between those two extremes, right? And I'm right there with you that the Orioles need to find something that's healthy in that range that is certainly committing more money than what they have in recent years. And look, that's fine. I didn't want them to go spend money 3 or 4 years ago when they stunk. I mean, like that didn't make sense,
But
but
if
they
they
are
would
at
have
a
woke
point
up with Juan
now.
Soto today, you would have thought, oh, they're serious. You know what I mean? And right now they're not serious. They're just
See,
you know.
I push. What do you mean by serious? I mean, see, this is where I'm going to push back, and we're
Well,
going to start fighting
let's see what they do
because
with pitchers.
okay, that's fine, but just because you don't spend $700 million on one ball player doesn't mean that you're not serious about winning. There are
No,
a lot of
it
teams
means
out.
you're not going to sign the best players. That's what it means. It means that the best of the best players you're going to pass
Okay,
on
but let's also
based
not.
on economics, in the same way that if you go in a restaurant and you see a $75 steak and a $20 steak, you might think it's a meal and I'm going to get by tonight and
But there's
I'm going to
also a
walk out of here.
$30 steak. There's also a $40 steak. There's also a $45 steak. See, again, I grow tired of this. Oh, they have to, their payroll has to be this, or they're not trying to win. No, that's not, I've used the St. Louis Cardinals example for probably going on a year and a half now in terms of one example of a model that I think the Orioles should try to ascend to try to emulate, to try to be,
And
which,
one
by
that
the
Mike
way,
Elias should know
Sig
very
Meidel and
well.
Mike and Mike Elias came from that model, right? So again, and that's where I'm right with you in wanting them to augment and add, and not just one of the things that I've, and I mentioned this in passing, talking about Garrett Crochet. I mean, I don't want this to be that the only way the Orioles can go get a legitimate starting pitcher is they have to go trade a bunch of prospects to do it. That's not how you're going to maintain a pipeline for the long term, right? You make trades when they make sense, but also go spend money when it makes sense, right? I mean, when it's, go out and get Max Fried or Nathan Eovaldi, who's not going to be anywhere close to what Corbin Burns is, or re-sign Corbin Burns. I don't know, right? I mean, it sounds like that door's not closed from my understanding. I don't know how realistic it is that they're
How
going to
much is
get him.
that door, Monty Hall?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a lot of money. I think, including with Tyler O'Neill and Gary Sanchez, who we haven't even mentioned, Gary Sanchez, $8 million for a backup catcher. That we if the prices have told us anything, it's they're not going down, right? I mean, the prices aren't going down. That's for certain. So you can look at these deals, and I'm as guilty of this as anyone. I've said to you, there are compelling baseball reasons to look at Corbin Burns' profile over the last 4 years and say, that's not someone you want to commit a 7 or 8 year contract to when he has a strikeout rate that's gone down 4 straight years. However, despite, that commentary in a vacuum, you're not negotiating and vying for free agents in a vacuum. It's driven by the market. And if the market dictates certain prices for certain players, you can either acknowledge that and go get the player that you really want, if that's the guy you really want, and spend a little more for him. Or you can say, nope, not going to do it. And then, you are in a position where, you're not, I don't want to say it limits your ceiling entirely, but it's limiting your ceiling somewhat, right? I mean, things have to go, you have a smaller margin for error. That's the better way to put it, I think, than limiting the ceiling. That's where we look at the Orioles right now. And look, I'm fine with the O'Neill signing. Like, if he's healthy, I think he's going to be a great addition for their bat, for their lineup. Right-handed bat with pop, especially with a revamped left field in Camden Yards. Good. Gary Sanchez, that one, he's better bat than James McCann, I guess. His defense has rebounded a little bit more than I had thought the last couple years. I mean, keep in mind, Gary Sanchez was Adley Rutschman for the Yankees 8, 9 years ago, right?
I remember it well.
He was kind of profiled at thought of as being the next great Yankee, and he had
He
a
was going to be
couple
Yogi
great years,
Berra, Elston
right?
Howard, right?
And things, right around the pandemic, things really went south for him there. So he's rebounded a little bit. He had a really good year for the Padres 2 years ago. Backup for the Brewers last year. He's not going to play a whole lot because I think I'm still going to work under the assumption that Adley Rutschman, the last 3 months of 2024, is still an aberration and something health-wise and just weird, because
Boy,
you're
that's the
kind of
biggest question we're going to have on
it
opening day,
is,
right?
right? I mean, look, We
And
can
we're going to
only
have a
ask.
lot of, we don't know who's pitching. We've got a lot of questions about
You
team
need Adley
already,
Rutschman
but.
to be Adley Rutschman again, right? I mean, if he does that,
And
and
we're
then
not
you've
going to
got
answer that question until April, right? I mean, there's not
till
going to.
May, maybe, right? I mean,
I mean, if
until
he doesn't hit the ball, I mean, he hits the ball in spring training, but he goes out of spring training, he's hitting a buck and a quarter. Wow. You know,
yeah,
like.
I mean, as much as I don't like to make too much of spring training numbers, yeah, on the heels of how his season finished up, yeah, that would be a little unsettling at the very least. So, but mentioning Adley Rutschman, I don't mean this to deflect what we were talking about, because we're talking about payroll possibilities, we're talking about free agent possibilities in addition to what they just did over the weekend. But so much of this is still counting on, is there another level for Gunnar Henderson? Who, that's a lot to ask, because Gunnar Henderson was already a top five player in the American League this year, right? He was the first 3 months of the season, he was my MVP of the AL, over Aaron Judge. Now,
What do you
obviously,
want
from
out
that,
of Gunnar Henderson? More doubles, more homers? What do
I
you
mean,
like, literally?
just
I mean,
make more consistency, maybe get a little bit better against left hand. I mean, he's already improved against left-handed pitching from where he was as a rookie, but can he get a little bit more consistent against left?
23 Henderson, Gunnar Henderson, 23, is that
Yeah,
right?
I mean, you're talking right. I mean, he'll be 24, right? I mean, he's Cal Ripken. I at that point in his career, let me be clear, at that point in his career,
Well,
he's.
I would agree with you. There aren't two $765 million deals for two guys like that, but you better be thinking about the nickels for him and where that's going to go.
Sure. Yeah, no question. And I right. I and that's fine. If the idea is, look, we're not going to be in the Juan Soto business. And 25 of those teams in baseball were in that same
My
boat,
point,
right?
though, Luke, with this money
But
thing, and I keep jumping in here, but my point is, eventually you're going to be in the Juan Soto business, either keeping your guy or losing your guy. You know what I mean? Like, so
sure.
if you
Well,
grow players, eventually
but the
you're
Juan
in the
Soto
same
bit.
business, even though you think you're not. And the fans think, well, that's just for those six or eight teams that have that money. You have to go compete with those teams with your own players. And with Machado, we didn't
Sure.
feel it so much here. And the Chris Davis thing and the old man and how weird it all is here in general, the Stockholm syndrome we all have, and nothing's ever been normal here, that this would be the most normal thing, right? Is to keep your own
Sure.
hero, right?
Sure. And look, we're going to see how that plays out, right? I mean, we're going to see if it's on the table to do an extension prior to him getting the free agency, which it feels like the clock's ticking significantly for that already, right? I mean, we don't know for sure, but your point's well taken. I'm not, my point has never been to be the Rays, right? I mean, it's never been that. Understanding they're also not going to be the Dodgers, right? Because that's just, they're not going to have that degree of resources, no matter how well you, because it's just the market's not that big. It's not that big. But yeah, you got to look at this through the long-term lens, and that's part of the reason why I kind of bristle at the idea of continuing to just trade away your prospects, right? Go out and go sign a pitcher. Right? Don't trade away three more prospects for a pitcher who you're then going to have to sign anyway. Go sign a pitcher, and you don't have to give up all the prospects, and then you can continue to supplement and augment your major league roster with what you're doing at Norfolk and what you're doing at, not Bowie anymore, what, Chesapeake, I guess, Double A Chesapeake.
I'll leave it with this because we'll go all night with this. But
Sure.
if they had to go play baseball tomorrow, they wouldn't be a very good team. You know, like as I look at the pitching
I mean,
based
what
on
would
the
you say
last
they were going to
90
be?
days, I think the pitching's a problem for them because of the arms that fell off and the amount of money they're going to have to spend to augment it. That they have Eflin and then what, and you know, I guess Rodriguez, you'll say healthy, fine. I don't like them without Corbin Burns or something that feels like Corbin Burns. And I certainly don't like that without the notion that this time last year we're talking about the Bradishes and the Means and the Wells and the
Yeah.
guys that were really going to be stalwart guys. You can pitch me Dean Kramer. You can pitch me some of these guys that feel like fifth starters that you're trying to say maybe they could be a two one day or a useful three. You know, they won 101 games 2 years ago, and they're going to be a long time. It's hard to win 101 games, as we found out. And they had
And
Corbin
it
Burns
doesn't
who couldn't
matter
do
that
it.
much either.
Yeah, you're
Doesn't matter
right.
that much to win 101 games either. I mean, it's just look, I'm not going to sit here and say that I'm okay with where they are pitching wise. I'll say this: I think their bullpen's in a better spot. Felix Bautista coming back. I'm not, I know you can't say with 100% certainty that he's going to be every bit as dominant as he was 2 years ago, but he's had a long enough time with the Tommy John rehab and everything to have a reasonable expectation that he's going to be good in the back end of your bullpen, right? And that's, you brought back Dominguez, you still have Cano, you have Gregory Soto, who pitched pretty well in the month of September. You didn't bring back Danny Coulomb, which I was surprised by, but it really makes me wonder what they thought about the health of his elbow at the end of
See,
last
this
year.
is where like the Travis Rogers thing is like, if you had
Trevor
him
Rogers,
for
yeah.
Trevor Rogers, excuse me,
Yeah.
I know a Travis Rogers, Trevor
We'll
Rogers, my
see.
bad. Yeah.
No, you're okay. We'll see. I mean, look, that they clearly like something they saw in him, right? And obviously it blew up in terms of any short-term return. But they do have 2 years of club control remaining on him. And they clearly liked him because not that Connor Norby and Kyle Stowers are projected to be future all-stars or anything like that. But especially in the case of Norby, still was someone that projected to be able to help them, right? I mean, Stowers, we'll see. I think there's a big enough sample now to really wonder if he's more of a quad A player than someone who's going to be a bona fide, legitimate major leaguer. We'll see. I'm rooting for him because I like that kid. He's a really nice kid, worked hard, didn't necessarily get the best opportunity at times. But the point is, they did give up some real assets. They weren't premier top 15 in baseball prospects, but they were real assets. And they clearly like Trevor Rogers. So, hey, what's he going to look like in spring? Is he going to be healthy? How's the velo? How's the movement on his pitches? Is he going to look more like the guy he was 3 years ago, which with the Marlins, there was some thought at that point that that guy could be a guy that's in the Cy Young mix moving forward. That's what kind of thought there was at him, on him 3 years ago, but 3 years ago is a long time ago. So, we'll see what that looks like. If he looks better, and again, they obviously need a starting pitcher. They need at least one, if not two, right? I mean, they need one at a minimum, and a real one, not, oh, go sign someone to, Jordan Lyles, right? We're not talking about Kyle Gibson even. We're talking about needing to aim much higher than that. We all know that. But if you do that and then you throw him into the mix and suddenly he looks more like he did 3 years ago, and then yeah, you still have Zach Eflin. You have a healthy Grayson Rodriguez. You still have Dean Kramer. Where does Albert Suarez fit into that picture? I mean, I don't want to forget about him. He was really good for them last year. That was a great story. You can't count on him doing that again, but I'm also not going to say he can't do it again. And then you start to get into, okay, can Kyle Bradish come back in August? I'm not saying he's going to be your ace at that point, but could he help you in a final pennant push? I don't know. But yeah, they need to go get pitching. There's no question. If they were to line up today, they wouldn't be like a bad losing team. I mean, Corbin Burns wasn't worth that much by himself, but they'd be more middling than serious contender to me. Like if you're
That's
trying
what
to
I
figure,
mean.
yeah,
That's what the
sure.
101 wins is a
Yeah.
long way off
Sure.
with the pitching they currently have.
I
They
mean,
are
they're not,
incapable
they're
of
not
winning
a,
101 games
yeah, they're not
with
a
the
74.
organization as
Yeah.
comprised. And
Right.
to your point, you want to win more games? You better buy some $30 million pitchers because
Well,
like that's the only way this thing right now is going to get better between here and there. It's not going to get better by bringing in three Kyle Gibsons, or even finding an Eflin. By signing an Eflin
that's where I
is a.
mentioned Nathan Eovaldi. Like Nathan Eovaldi, to me, that would be another Eflin-like deal, which, hey, I'm not opposed to that, but you certainly need to
But
augment.
it's a downgrade from Corbin Burns to Nate Eovaldi.
It is, although it's funny, go look at the numbers. I'm not sure it's as dramatic for what the contract that Corbin Burns is going to be. Now, Eovaldi's 4 years older, right? Let me just say, there are every year, and this, if you recall, we were having this conversation, what, three off seasons ago now. I really wanted the Orioles to go sign a Nathan Eovaldi type when they settled for Kyle Gibson. And look, Kyle Gibson was fine. He did exactly what you would expect him to do. But if they had added Nathan Eovaldi too at that point in time, I'm not saying they win the World Series, but their rotation is in better shape than it
They'd
was at
won a
that point
game
in
in
time.
Texas.
Maybe. I mean, right, because he wouldn't have pitched against them. He would have been on their side. But
Well, you can't get much better than getting the bye and winning 101 win. You know what I mean? Like
I guess
they were in the position.
my point here, I guess I'm trying to make, if you're not going to go sign Corbin Burns, fine. You better make sure you hit on at least one of those second or third tier kind of guys that works out really, really well. I mean, the Rangers couldn't have asked for better than what Eovaldi gave them the last couple of years. And that's even with him missing time 2 years ago. You know, keep in mind, he spent some time on the IL that year even. So, you know, it's not as though you need that it has to be an ace that's on the matinee, or, you know, like up on the display, you know, but they certainly need another guy that's going to fit in the top half of the rotation. I mean, that's the Captain Obvious statement right now. So, but that's also under with the assumption that you need Grayson Rodriguez to stay healthy, and you need Felix Bautista in the bullpen to stay healthy. You need your offense to rebound from whatever the last 2 months of the season was. You need that, not just Adley Rutschman, but across the board, right? I mean, you know, and they made changes with the hitting coach and all of that. So, you know, I want to be clear. I'm in agreement with you. Yes, they need to add starting pitching. At the same time, there's still a really good base to work with here, right? I mean, this isn't a team that I view right now as a 74 win team or anything like that. They're way better than that. But yeah, if you want to be taken seriously in terms of taking the next step and not just making the playoffs, but positioning yourself to win games in the playoffs, look, the pitching wasn't the problem against the Royals, right? I mean, even game two, you know, Eflin got lifted after 4 innings. I mean, their bullpen pitched fine. And that was from after guys like me kept saying their bullpen wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough, which I still had my doubts it would have been good enough for 3.5 weeks of that.
It wasn't good enough
But
to get out of the first 2 days. The
yeah,
team
they
wasn't
could,
good
right? They could
enough.
have won a couple games if their offense did anything. So, you know, it's a long off season. There's still a lot to be done. I certainly hope that Tyler O'Neill and Gary Sanchez was not it. I don't think that's it. You know, they invested some money here. It's not 700 million, but real money. You know, it's real money. It's a start. But yeah, they need to go get a pitcher, and you know, we'll see if it. You know, it could be Corbin Burns. It could be Garrett Crochet. It could be Nathan Eovaldi. It could be Max Fried. I mean, there's lots of different potential outcomes out there, but whatever it is, they certainly need to add. There's no question about that. If you're not bringing back Corbin Burns, and I still don't expect that to be the outcome, you know, who knows? Maybe the Yankees end up throwing an extra $100 million at him now in response to losing Soto. But you know, they got it. They need to go out and fortify their rotation. There's no question about that. Because, you know, very simply that Kyle Bradish, you know, is at best a maybe for a month or two in 2025, at best. So you certainly need to do something here if it's not going to be Corbin Burns returning.
The winter meetings underway, Major League Baseball. I'm wearing my orange, my Curio orange and Farm Daughter. Luke Jones can be found at Baltimore. Luke, the Orioles taking on the Ravens taking on the Giants this weekend. The Orioles taking on free agency this weekend and taking on at least one contract. We'll see where Anthony Santander winds up, as well as all this pitching this week. So if anything happens, and we are under new ownership and new management around here, so anything's possible, except Juan Soto, who's going to the Mets. You'll get it first on the WNST text service. All of that brought to you by our friends at Cole Roofing. And you can join by texting WNST or join to 410-821-9678. Big week ahead here with football and a happy, happy holiday. We got the Maryland Crab Cake Tour back out on the road with our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're going to be at Fadley's on Wednesday at Lexington Market. Next week, we move to Amici's on Tuesday in Little Italy. And then on Wednesday, back over to Dundalk in my homeland of Costas Inn on Wednesday afternoon. Happy holidays to everybody out there celebrating. Get ready for a whole bunch of football in a real short period of time here, as well as who knows what Mike Elias and the Orioles are going to do. He's Luke. I'm Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.